I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture today is Mark 1, 29 through 39. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with fever, and immediately they told him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she served them. That evening at sundown, they brought him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered together about the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, a great while before the day, he rose and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I might preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. May the Lord add his blessing to his word.
Thank you, Troy. I appreciate you filling in for Tammy on such short notice. Appreciate it. This is a very interesting story about Jesus in so many ways. But I want you to think about Jesus' mission, about how it may have been difficult for him to focus on his mission. So I will ask you, how focused are you when you try to follow the teachings of Christ? Perhaps the better question is, are you ever trying to follow the teachings of Christ? If so, here's four more questions for you. Are you really focused on loving your neighbor? Are you really focused on forgiving 7 times 70? Are you really focused on giving to others in ways that show compassion and unconditional love? And if you are that focused, how successful would you say you've been? Perhaps you're thinking, well, I was going to do all those things, but I got distracted. Perhaps your judgment of another kept you from loving them as Christ taught. You know, they were too dirty, or perhaps too poor, perhaps of another race from yourself, or they don't think like you. Or maybe you just felt they weren't good enough to be loved. We all have distractions in our lives. Some are self-created. Others are outside forces. Whatever the case, we can find reasons, better yet, excuses, for not following Christ's teachings. Is that right? Jesus was well aware of distractions, even in his own time. We all can become distracted and look away from the goal of becoming like him. If you saw the movie Chariots of Fire, maybe you remember the great runner Abraham. He had won so many races. His coach maintained such discipline. But Abraham finally lost one of the races because he looked to the side. Just as he was about to finish the race, he looked to see where his competitor was. His coach said to him, "That look cost you the race." He was not single-minded on the finish and the prize that lay ahead. Many of us fail to be like Christ because we are too busy. That's right, too busy. Have you heard the phrase, too many irons in the fire? I get to hear all the time what everyone's doing, including myself. Well, I was gonna do this, but I had to do this, and then when I turned to do this, I forgot about that, and by the time it was all said and done, I forgot what it was I was really gonna do. I've spoken with moms and dads who talk about their busy lives, working long hours, not enough rest, driving the kids to school, going to work, picking them up, taking them to their after-school activities, preparing their meals, or taking them out to eat, getting homework done, getting them bathed, then getting them to bed. Sound familiar, Jamie? If that's the case, when does one have time to read Scripture, let alone work on being more like Christ? The anxiety level alone prevents it. And if not anxiety, certainly being so tired you can't even think. Just a note, and this happened the other day, I commented to some moms the other day, and I meant it sincerely, that being a good mom is the hardest work any human being will ever do. Any human being will ever do. Most men do not have a clue. In addition to the aforementioned distractions, we have cell phones, computers, iPads, iPods, Nexus, PSP, Wii, Xbox, television, and radio to contend with. By the way, if you think using a cell phone is a distraction while driving a car, just imagine how distracted a woman was while traveling on an inner city bus in northern Greece. She was so deep in conversation that when the driver reached her stop, she got off without her four-month-old son. Fortunately, she quickly realized her mistake and hired a taxi to chase the bus back to its terminal, where the infant was still there where she had left him 30 minutes before, on the back seat, crying, but otherwise okay. Distracted? Yes. We have a society full of distractions. And again I say the Lord Jesus Christ knew about and fought distractions. Even he was susceptible to distractions. How could he not be? Everywhere he went, people wanted something from him. No sooner did he walk into a town than someone came running to ask for help or enlightenment or explanations, healing. In fact, I will go one better and prove he was aware of distractions, because in our text this morning, hear these words. And in the morning, a great while before day, he rose and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he said to them, "Let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also. For that is why I came." That's why I came. I've been healing. I've been casting out demons. I've been teaching. I've been meeting with folks. I need to get back on track. I need to do what I was called to do. And do you remember what was going on before this little scenario? And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever, and immediately they told him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she served him. That evening at sundown they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered together about the door, and He healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Busy? Yeah, he was busy. I'm going to go over here to Simon Peter's house and just visit, have a meal. Before he could even do that, everyone was coming. He had already healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. He was having everyone brought to the house, whether he wanted them or not. Yes, the Lord was very busy. He set out on a mission of preaching, but being who he was and is, he would not neglect anyone's need. No one's. So he healed them. Why do you think preaching was a priority? Why was preaching a priority for the mission of Jesus? Well, I'll tell you. He knew the power of words. Keep in mind, he healed people. That is not what got him incriminated. Proverbs 18:21, "What you say can preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequences of your words." Words carry power, and Jesus was well aware of this and would not be distracted. What was the charge against Jesus? The fact that he healed and cast out unclean spirits? No. It was his words. What Jesus said was the charge against him. Remember that? You said you're the Son of God. He did not gather an army. He did not defy King Herod or the Emperor of Rome. He didn't even physically abuse women and children. What he did was preach and teach. This is what took him to the cross. In fact, whether he actually said inflammatory words or not, they were attributed to him because that is what was powerful in the courts and in the Sanhedrin. Have you ever been in trouble for something you said? Husbands? Children? Have you experienced the power of words? Has your life been affected by words? Do you have any idea how many people come to counseling when they're adults because of things their parents said when they were children? Telling them they were no good, or they were too stupid, or they'd never be anything? Words are powerful. In 1957, there was a movie released entitled The Story of Mankind. What I'm about to share with you will be a summary with a few twists. In this movie, which had Ronald Coleman in it, the Supreme Court case between humanity and Satan. Proceedings took on a surprising turn in the courtroom when Judge God read out the charge against the defendant, humanity. Sin was the main charge, with a list of violations being read out, some minor and seemingly insignificant, while others were major and grotesque. The plaintiff sneered and was getting ready for his closing statement of damnation and requesting the death penalty. One last witness took the stand to make a statement. It was then the judge gasped, and humanity looked surprised. Jesus took the stand, and after being sworn in to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, he requested of Judge God to please allow him to take the place and any punishment that might be assigned to humanity as a result of the crimes that had been committed. Everyone sighed. Humanity cried in disbelief, and the plaintiff lost his grin and became angry. After the judge had looked at Articles 9 of Hebrews, subsection 12 to 28, he accepted the life of Jesus in the place of humanity, and what followed was the harshest sentence that was ever laid down on anyone. As the judge read out the punishment for the crime, all became quiet. The death penalty was imposed on the criminal. No mitigating circumstances were offered or accepted. No mercy was forthcoming. He accepted his fate. He smiled. Love permeated from him. The peace in the courtroom was beyond words. Jesus was led away to Calvary, where he would be executed with the other criminals. The plaintiff smiled and waited for applause. Yet no congratulations were given. Humanity was free. Justice had been served. Jesus took humanity's place, and the price was paid by his precious blood once and for all. Message. Don't become distracted. Get back to the basics. The basics are words. You saw me. I was with Caden, and we talked about how to be kind to people. If you want to be kind to people, watch your words. You have no idea what you say and the effect it has on those around you. You may just make a little comment, fleeting comment you think nothing of, but somebody is carrying that in their heart for the rest of their lives. Words, getting back to basics. You want to be nice to somebody, you can give them gifts. You can do random acts of kindness, but if you really want to be kind with your words. We mustn't become distracted from the truth. Jesus died for us. He died that we may have life And are these just words? Someone says he died that we might have life. Do you think of those as just words? Even if you think they are, remember, words have power. Words have power. My prayer for you today, throughout the week, and throughout your lives is that you may feel the power that comes with knowing our Lord and Savior and taking time to learn the words that He used to show His love, His compassion, and His healing grace to us. Let us pray. Oh God, oftentimes we forget that words are so powerful. We know that words are the basis for everything. May we get back to the basics and remember to watch our tongues, to watch our words, to impart kindness and love and compassion to those around us, for this is what your Son taught us. Be with us and strengthen us, for we ask this in His name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.